The Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So before I really get into the story, I want to take a minute and just talk about Mary Magdalene, because she is such a cool character and such an important person in Scripture. She was a faithful disciple, one of the very few that stayed with Jesus all the way to the cross. She's the only person named by all four gospel writers as one who went to the tomb. And she's sometimes called the apostle to the apostles, because she's the one who saw the resurrected Jesus and went and proclaimed the good news of the resurrection to the other disciples. And John does a very cool thing with how he writes this story that really highlights that point. If you remember way back to chapter 1, when Jesus called his first disciples, he asked them a couple questions. He asked them, "What are you looking for?" And then when they asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" he said, "Come and see." So I guess one question, one statement. But both were invitations. This was how the disciples were called in John, was asking, "What are you seeking?" And then inviting to come and see for themselves what Jesus is about. That was how discipleship happened. So now, all the way at the end of the book, John does a bookend thing here where he uses the similar language and he does the same thing with Mary. Now the resurrected Jesus asks Mary, "Whom are you looking for? What are you seeking?" And then Mary goes and tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. In both cases, what are you seeking? To seek Jesus is to be a disciple. To see Jesus and share that good news is to be a disciple. So Mary is the first disciple to the resurrected Jesus. Really cool and interesting stuff, but not what I wanted to talk about today. What really stuck out at me about today's story was the line in verse 11 about Mary, where it says, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. This story, the Easter story, this is our foundational story. This is the bedrock that our faith is built on. And this is where it happens, with a woman weeping at a grave. Mary has lost the most important person in her life. She is heartbroken, and she cannot imagine that things will ever get better. We know that feeling, right? That feeling of the world falling apart around us. That feeling that we've lost everything that matters. That things will never be good or even just okay again. That's where this story takes place. In the midst of that kind of loss and that kind of heartbreak. Mary is so deep down in it that she can't see past her grief. There's two guys dressed in white sitting in the tomb, and she doesn't really react to that at all. Like, that's just normal. And then the grave clothes are mysteriously left behind. Now, think about that. She thinks someone came and stole the body. So what, they unwrapped it first and like neatly folded the linens and left them in a pile? It makes no sense, but she doesn't react to that either. All she can see is her pain. Now, I know this is kind of heavy stuff for Easter morning, right? But it's so important that this is where our most important story takes place. This is where our hope is found. Easter isn't just the icing on the cake of an already really great and wonderful day. Easter hope, resurrection hope, comes right where we need it the most. It's in the middle of all her grief and pain that Jesus comes and meets Mary and calls her by her name. Jesus opens her eyes to the miraculous that's right in front of her and helps her to see life where before all she could see was death. That's what God does. Our God comes to us in our grief and our despair when we cannot see things ever getting better. Our God comes to us in our pain and sees us and knows us and calls us by name. Our God comes to us and brings life out of death in ways that we can't even imagine. That's why this is our foundational story. Because our God is a God of resurrection. Not just Jesus, not just Lazarus, not just those ancient stories. Our God is a God of resurrection today, every day. This here, all of this is resurrection. We have not been here for Easter for 2 years. Yeah, I know. And here we are together again, celebrating in this beautiful space with all these flowers. This is resurrection. A resurrection happens like this in our community. As we come back together after a hard 2 years, and we start to get excited, right? We get excited again about our fellowship together at coffee hour or Easter breakfast. We get excited again about new ministry opportunities, like with planting a community garden. Resurrection happens here in this community, and it happens out in our lives, in all the places that we are. It happens in our jobs, in our families, with our friends. It's the love and support that we receive in the midst of a crisis, from unexpected places. It's new opportunities that we didn't foresee after a job loss. It's gained insights and compassion that come from a long illness. It's the joy of a slower pace and a less busy schedule found in the midst of a pandemic. It's laughter and moments of happiness that slowly return after the death of a loved one. It can look like so many things. I can't even begin to name them all. It's all those little green shoots of life that spring up after the hard winters of our life. For me personally, in my life, I'm experiencing resurrection in the joy of this job as transitional minister here. When I found out that my dear friend, Pastor Jim, was moving away, I could not have imagined this, how much joy and excitement and fun I would have every day coming to work. But that's resurrection. It comes to us where we most need it and in ways that we can't imagine. It's all the ways that God brings about new life, right there in the midst of loss and grief and death. Because if you'll notice, Jesus doesn't tell Mary to stop crying. Her loss is real. Jesus did die. She will never sit at his feet or share a meal with him the way that she used to. But that loss, that death, that is not the end of the story. God is doing something new, something that Mary couldn't even imagine. Jesus is alive. In a new way, a way that she couldn't even recognize when she first saw it. The work and ministry of Jesus continued on in a new way through Mary, through the other disciples, and continues on through the Holy Spirit, through us. That is the gift of resurrection. That is the hope that we live in. The gift of resurrection doesn't mean that we won't experience loss. It doesn't mean that we won't grieve. But what it means, what the promise and hope of resurrection means for us, is that pain and loss and grief, they are never the final word. They are never the end of the story. The power of resurrection is that we can hope, even when life is really hard. Because we know that the final word, the end of the story, will always be life. New, joy-filled, unexpected, and unimaginable life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.